Good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone here this morning. I'm going to take a few minutes and think about some things and see if my voice will hold up through this. In today's world, many things happen in our lives from day to day, and from one day we have maybe a high, and the next day we have a low, and we might not do as much maybe on the low day as we do on the high day for the Lord. But we should always remember that we are Christians. And by being Christians, we should stay on the high day, if we possibly can. But from time to time, we wonder what we're doing. And we go through things of our lives, in everyday lives, that we wonder about what we have done. And I want to talk to you this morning about making a deal. If you can remember back when you were a child and you had a playmate that's a friend or a sibling, a sister, a brother, and you wanted to play a game with that friend or sibling, and the friend or sibling didn't really want to play the game you wanted to play. Maybe you wanted to play apples to apples, and the other one says, no, I don't want to play that right now, but I'll make you a deal. If you will play Monopoly with me, when we get done with the Monopoly, then I will play the game of apples to apples with you. Well, so you play the game of apples, or the Monopoly game, and the next thing you know, that game is over, and you say, okay, it's time now to play the apples to apples. And the other one says, nah, I don't want to do it. The deal breaker. They just broke the deal. They just took away everything that you had planned for, all the things that you had gone through the Monopoly thing, and now that person leaves you hanging, not playing apples to apples. They broke the deal. The child broke the deal. How do you feel? How do you feel that that person did that to you? Okay. I think we've all probably been in that situation at one time or another where someone didn't quite keep the deal. A lot of people in this room have bought a car before. Probably almost everyone, except maybe the ones that's too young back there. Their time will come. But you go into the dealer to make a purchase of a car, and we look over the lot, and, you know, we went from car to car. We opened the doors and closed them, and we looked inside, and we liked the inside of this one or that one. And finally, we choose a car that we like. So we say to the salesperson, can I take this car for a drive? He says, yeah, sure. He goes, gets the keys, hands us the keys. We get in the car. We take the car for a drive. We're gone a half an hour with the car, or maybe an hour. Maybe he even lets us drive the car for a day. Maybe even a weekend sometimes. Anyway, you finally get back to the dealership, and you sit down with him after kicking the tires and looking under the hood and looking in the trunk, and you've decided this is the car I want. So you go in to the salesperson and you sit down and you start talking to the salesperson. You're interested in what you can buy this car for. The salesperson says, well, this car is a pretty good car. We can sell you this car for $18,000. Oh, that sounds like a pretty good price. Yeah, I'll pay that price. So the salesperson says, well, you go away for a little while, and I'll get all the papers ready, and at 5 o'clock tonight, this evening, 5 o'clock this afternoon, you come back. I'll have the papers ready, and you can buy this car for $18,000. Well, your wife is all excited because she's going to get a new car, okay? And you're excited because she's going to get a new car. Because when she's happy, you're happy. Kind of the way it works, right? So, 5 o'clock, you go back to the dealer. And you say to the dealer, okay, I'm ready for my car. Where's the papers? I want to sign them and get out of here. So, what happens is, the salesperson says, well, we found out that we had a little bit more in this car than what we thought we did. And we're going to have $19,200 for this car. And you're sitting there looking at the figure. And the salesperson had told you $18,000. You had the $18,000 to buy the car, but you don't have the $19,200. And you feel very bad because you wanted that car, but you certainly didn't want to pay $19,200 for it. So you get up. You look at the salesman and you say, I am fixing to leave here. How do you feel about the salesperson? He just upped the car. He broke the deal. He didn't keep the deal that he made with you. So therefore, you didn't get the car. Most of us in here has bought a house at one time or another. We go and look around and we find the house. Oh, this is the house. This is it. This is the house I want. So we go to the bank, talk to the bank about financing on the house. It's the same scenario. We get all set for the financing on the house. And they say, okay, yep, we can do this thing, and you can pay $600 a month on this house till it's paid for, and we'll be all set. We can afford $600. Okay, let's go. Let's do it. So he says, okay, you come in tomorrow. We'll get the papers ready. You can sign the papers. We'll set up your payment plan, $600 a month, and the house will be yours when you pay to the end. Maybe 30 years. Good deal. Okay. So the next day you come back in, the banker says, you know, we figured out that we needed to get this house paid off a little sooner. So we can't give you quite that much time to pay for the house. So we got to cut it back to 23 years rather than 30. And it's going to cost you $900 a month rather than $600. How do you feel? How do you feel about the banker? He didn't keep the deal, right? You don't feel good toward that banker because he didn't keep the deal. Matthew 25, there's a part in the Bible that talks about the talent, the talents that were given. And the talents were given to one person, five talents. Talents were given to another person, two talents, and another person, one talent. And they were to take this talent, this is money, so they were to take this talent and go out and make what they could and do what they should with that talent. So the one with five talents goes out and does his work, whatever it was he was supposed to do, and he comes back and he says, Lord, I took that five talents and I went out and I gained five more. And the Lord says to him, thou good and faithful servant. And the one with the two talents, he comes back and he says, Lord, I took the two talents and I went out and I gained two more. I did something for you. I gained two talents. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And he gave the one talent. And the person that he gave the one talent, he went out and he dug a hole in the ground and he buried this one talent because he was afraid to lose it. And he didn't want to lose it. He wanted to make sure that the master got back the one talent. He did nothing. He did nothing to increase. He did nothing that would make things better. And when he came back, he said, I knew that you were just, and I knew that you were a hard person, and I knew that I could not lose this talent, so I buried it. And he did nothing for it. So he took that talent away from him and gave it to the one who gained the other five talents, who had 10 talents, and then he had 11. He didn't keep the deal. He didn't do what he should with the talent. We need to do something for the Lord and show our faithfulness for what we have and what we begin with. If we look at Titus, the first chapter, in the 9th verse, it's talking about the qualifications, basically, of an elder here. But in the 9th verse, it talks about holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to sound by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. Holding fast to the faithful word as he has been taught. Why? Why? That he will be able to teach others of sound doctrine, holding fast, keeping to something that he had agreed upon when he began. Keeping something that he had agreed upon to be in his life so that he could serve the Lord. Not changing. Holding fast, not changing. Keeping the deal. Revelations 2:10, very quickly there. The end of that verse says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. There is something about doing what you should do and being faithful unto death to receive what is going to be yours. In Acts, the second chapter, Acts 16, 14 through 15, approximately, we're talking about Lydia here. And Lydia was a woman, and it says in verse 13, and on the Sabbath day went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont and to be made, and sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, in the city of, I won't get this right, Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart and the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which Paul spoke to her, or which was spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If thou have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Lydia heard the word of God. She was baptized, her and her household. She became a Christian. That's what she was doing here. And by becoming a Christian, and I don't know the exact amount of time here, but by being a Christian, she was found faithful. She kept the deal. Found faithful. She kept the deal. If we turn to Acts, the second chapter, and you can read mine easily because it's fallen out of the book. But anyway, Acts, the second chapter, we will remember that Peter, after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, stood up and began to speak. And he spoke about what was going on with Jesus Christ. And the multitude that was there was asking questions. And Peter had said, what you have done is you have crucified Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Lord, Jesus God. You have crucified and killed him. But what he has done is raised from the dead and ascended back to heaven to his Father. And as he spoke that day, he said all these things to the people, and they replied back to him, and they said, men and brethren, what should we do? What should we do? Peter then said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And in verse 39 it says, the promise is to you and your children and to all that are afar off. That means adults, the promise is to you. The promise is to the children that you're going to have, and those children that's going to have children, and on down through the generations of time. So these people are baptized into Jesus Christ. They did what they were supposed to do. They became Christians. When we started our Christian life and we were baptized into Christ, and we come up out of that grave of water, which is a semblance of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We made a deal. We made a deal. The deal was, Jesus, I am going to obey. Jesus, I am going to do what you want me to do. Jesus, I am going to live for you. Jesus, I am going to help others. Jesus, I am going to teach others about Jesus Christ. I am going to bring others to Christ. I am going to live for you. I'm going to give my time. I'm going to be a faithful servant to you. And Jesus says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Do we break the deal? How did you feel with the car dealer? You didn't feel good. How did the child feel with the other child? Didn't feel good. How did you feel about the banker? It wasn't a good thing. Because they didn't keep the deal. How does Jesus feel about us when we don't keep the deal? The deal has been made that we will have eternal life through Jesus Christ, through the baptism that the Bible teaches of, and through remaining a Christian and doing what we have made a deal with Jesus Christ. Are you a deal breaker? How does Jesus look at us? Have we kept the deal? I hope that you will commit from this point on to keep the deal. Because when the time comes that Jesus is going to come again, he's going to look at us and he's going to say, did you keep the deal? And we're going to have to answer. So how's your deal? Let's keep the deal. That's the most important thing in our lives, is keep the deal that we've made. Keeping the deal. Shall we stand? Shall we sing?